everyone hear Mike?
Mike?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
What?
Welcome. welcome to Arcane Recovery, everyone. Yeah. This is our third Arcane Recovery that talks about episodes 5 and 6. A lot happened, as per usual. I'm gonna do the typical thing here, and I'm gonna ask you all what was one of your favorite moments of the session today, Nick.
I need
very good.
I really loved the library stuff. Getting to meet those characters, because those are characters that also pertain to me.
Yes.
But also just seeing how you guys interacted with them and each other, and then like the young adult romance things. And like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, that was really fun. Absolutely. Yes, Nick.
My favorite part was I love as a future DM and like co-DM with Haven, the conversation between Lycan and Leo.
Oh,
yes. Loved it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you can maybe talk about it. But and then my other part was like Elkstor interacting with Sayer. Any interaction with Sayer. I love it.
Fair. Jake.
First of all, I agree with Heath. I loved the characters, like the library characters, because they felt so different from what you were doing, like with every single other character.
Yeah,
and it was brilliant. And it was so cool to just watch you do like just these normal funny dudes, and I was like, this is great. This is so fun to be part of. But then other than that, it's got to be Yanir, because like, yeah, like I was partially frozen because I was meant to be scared.
Absolutely.
But part of my like being frozen was, holy shit, this guy's cool. Oh my god. What do I say? What am I meant to say to this dude? What the fuck? What do I do here?
Yeah.
It's just super cool. And I'm plotting ideas of deals I could make with him.
Oh, great.
Oh man.
I may fall into that rabbit hole.
Also while we're talking about Yanir and Covenant, this chamberlain.
I was reading all the.
Could you read to everyone what Covenant is?
I'll bring it up on my
because
phone.
Just so everyone knows, earlier this week I sent Jake 3 or 4 very important questions, and Jake went. First of all, I'm really scared that you're asking me all these questions. Second of all, and then he told me all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said to me. In like some of these different things, he was like, by the way, like you still haven't sent me the knife, like this sword or anything to add to my inventory. And I didn't reply to him. All I said was, this is great. Thanks. And
that is so evil of you.
Because,
oh my god.
Because here's the thing, and read the description of Covenant, because this is why I couldn't have you add it.
I understand why. Wait, the description?
Yeah, yes. With the entire description and what it does.
Okay, so Home of Yanir is the very first part of the first sentence.
Yeah.
This chain blade is a shining silver with a pale red metallic guard. With the ability to elongate and reach further distances, this blade's epic combat ability comes at a price. Sentience. The Covenant is a sentient, chaotic, evil weapon with an intelligence of 18, a wisdom of 26, and a charisma of 26.
Oh my god.
It has hearing and true sight out to a range of 120 feet. The weapon communicates telepathic. Ah, fuck, I lost it! No, where'd it go? The weapon communicates telepathically with its wielder and can speak, read, and understand abyssal and common. Personality. In the name of fun, Yanir lives within the Covenant. The weapon yearns to make deals. Yanir learns its wielder's principles, then uses those ideals to encourage revenge and vengeance.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that makes sense for him now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. Yeah. And then it also has 2 spells.
come on in. I love the.
Surprise guest, everyone.
Oh my god!
Oh, this is awesome.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Out here while you're having this after conversation.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So for the folks at home, we have a very special guest. This is our number one fan, Lisa Bardak, who's also my mother. Would you like to say hi to the people?
Well, hello.
Hello.
She's got an amazing, made an amazing shirt. That we isn't a shirt
that
yet.
That needs to be a shirt now.
But it's got to be future merch be that has all our character names on it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. That's great.
And we're very excited to have her here just to come watch because she is a huge supporter of the pod. Yeah, just been talking about Jake's cool weapon that he got.
So Jake, go ahead. What were the things that came with the weapon itself?
So there were two spells I saw. There was a part during the first session that I was reading the weapon description on my computer, and I looked up and stared at you and just went,
"Yeah, yes."
And I don't know. So I saw that you noticed me do that, but you clearly didn't know why I was doing.
I did not create these spells. One of these spells is directly from 5e, and of these spells is from Book of Ebb and Tides.
Mm.
There's Draven's Blunted Blade, which
this is a spell.
It's a spell Am I aware that I can even use this?
Well, as the player, and you can just flavor it. I didn't understand.
Your target's weapon rapidly corrodes. A creature of your choice within range that is holding a manufactured non-magical weapon in one of its hands must succeed on a strength saving throw. On a failed save, the target must roll all weapon damage dice twice and take the lower result. If the spell ends before 1 minute has passed, the target's weapon returns to its normal state. Otherwise, the weapon breaks down into a pile of rust or wood chips as appropriate.
Dang.
And then Hex.
Very cool spell.
Hex
and,
as well as the other
and
one.
And as soon as I saw that, I just bought this Book of Ebb and Tides. And it has 45 new spells in it.
Holy shit.
That all revolve around light and darkness, which is why I got Book of Ebb and Tides, because I knew that I was going to be using a lot of light and darkness with Nyssa. And I was like, I need to feature more of this cool crap.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, keep going.
Real quick, just the dormant effects of the blade. The chain blade grants the following benefits in its dormant state. You can speak, read, and write Abyssal. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, Abyssal.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
You gain a +1 bonus to attack and damage rolls made with this magic weapon. It is also one-handed with a reach of 15 feet. Whenever you hit with this weapon, the target must succeed on a DC 14 dexterity saving throw or suffer one of the following effects. And I'm not going to read the effects.
But we'll get there.
It's a cool weapon. I'm just really scared of it.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have contingency plans.
One thing I'll say, and Nick would know this, if you aren't aware, this is what's known as an artifact. It's not like an actual like there's in D&D there's magic weapons that are like rare, very rare, legendary. But artifacts have the ability to evolve, so per se, if someone were to make a deal with the weapon, it could go to an awakened state, and if you make even further deals, it could get to the point of an exalted state where you get even more things on each of those tiers.
Yeah.
And all because you saw a cool sword and said, mine now. Ooh, piece of candy.
So just so you know, just so you're aware of that.
The sword becomes more powerful, the more
it becomes more powerful, but the more you put into it,
the more it takes
from
you.
Adam, what was your favorite part about sessions today?
So
that's where we were.
Look at what I wrote. So there was a lot of different things. I loved the librarian people. I loved all of them. I liked the little moments with Sayer that each one. I liked that Sayer went up to you. Wanted to make sure you were okay. That was super sweet.
Yeah, I'm not.
Um, all the moments that we finally got to have. I feel like we didn't really fully get to have many full moments with each other for a while.
Like it in Leo.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I keep forgetting people can't see me and Lycan. And I wrote down one of the, and I don't know. Sometimes my brain will say things that are just like poetry, and I don't know how that happens.
Okay, Orpheus.
And I wrote down, I didn't write it in the video, or in the recording, it'll be probably something more profound. I don't know. But I wrote down the thing I said where I'm still the aftermath of what someone else did.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I was. Yeah.
Okay. That was crazy. Just your line about about whatever you said about it being terrifying when you don't understand things.
Yeah, I said it's terrifying not knowing things. Yeah, at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nick and I want to say something about
what
this line.
What can we say?
Let's tiptoe around it. Would you like to go first, or you want me to go first on that?
You can go first.
Okay. the line was, say the line one more time.
I'm still the aftermath of what someone else did.
Yeah, I'm still the aftermath of what somebody else did.
Like, I think we both looked away. Oh my God. Like, holy hell.
No, literally. I watched you both. I watched you turn around and cover your mouth, Haven.
Yeah.
The temperature it was dropped. Crazy. It's different.
Oh, 100.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because I can't say a lot. Okay. Like, with everything we talked about last time when we were on Arcane Recovery of exploring those morally gray situations, we're now starting to discover a lot of the dilemma in this world.
It's episode 5 and 6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's awesome that you guys are not even realizing that you're foreshadowing things.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't say what that foreshadows, but it definitely foreshadows.
Yeah. Because, like, what's interesting is that Haven talked about it, or one of the Arcanalosts did, but, like, it alluded to the history of Ventalor, where there were two wars, and this kind of, it's like general knowledge, where the first big world war was when, I believe, humans became ambitious, and then that became a whole, like, you're very stereotypical, elves are, you know, immortal, like almost immortal beings, dwarves, you know, that. And then so once humans are how humans are in most media, that caused a whole war, and then they're like, you know what, let's dip. Then after that, you know, so many hundred years later, they had the genocidal scourge where races were
wiped off the planet. The goblins don't exist anymore. Only hobgoblins are a thing. Dwarves aren't miners and all that sort of stuff anymore. Arcanics were born and all that.
It's so interesting of how that history is starting to, like, get released, where it's, like, you know, alluded to, where the Kitsune are the rune casters. So you're like, what, how does that go? And because you found Nakita, the, you know,
Kitsune Druid.
And you're interested in that. I love that you're searching up on it. Especially, what's really interesting is that also, Gael, as well, for your perception of knowledge in that conversation. For me, I can say this, in Tolona, it's very different. So some of the knowledge is kind of gatekeeped in Tolona, where...
what?
What did you say?
He grammar corrected you is what he did.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I'm not good with grammar. What was?
Gate kept.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. No, you're fine. I'm not good with language. But yes, gate kept. And there's like this social stigma going around where we get to allude that some of the dwarves are kind of outcasted a little bit in Tolona.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting of this history unfolding.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of guilt that he feels right now. That's something he didn't do.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Lycan or Sophia?
Sophia. I mean, I kind of feel like everybody touched on like a lot of the big moments for me. One we haven't necessarily brought up yet is I really liked seeing Gael make friends with Venik.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
You stole my answer.
I know. You can talk on it.
It's okay.
I won't talk on it. You can talk on it.
No, you can talk about it.
And then I also really liked Elxador's dad moment with Sayurk and cooking. That was really sweet.
I thought that was very sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I also really liked our conversation, or Lycan's conversation with Leo, and Lycan not knowing how to comfort him.
The return of Log.
Yes,
Log is back.
Pet frog.
Yes. Oh, I also forgot to mention that I actually said it wrong. But Sarkot doesn't have gloves on because he's immune to poison, he can pick him up. Yeah. I went back through his stat block and I was like, wait a second. I was like, yeah, he's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, sorry, just random thought.
And Log will come in more later. He's just cute little guy for
just
right now.
Guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I loved the sounds you gave for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Adam is the one voicing.
I'm the voice of Log as well.
I love that.
Yeah.
Leo Log.
Ari.
Oh, both L's.
Yeah. So, I mean, how is my answer not going to be connecting with Venik? Because I just didn't expect that at all, to give Gael kind of a friend, or at least a potential of a friend, and to be like, how do they cope with that? And to see someone else who is just as passionate about this thing that they've kind of been told as they're growing up makes them like less than, like, it's the thing that, you know, they're not. And we'll get more into this, so I don't want to say too much, you know, as the story progresses. Absolutely. But like, Gael wasn't really good at a lot of things. And so they were like, the priests and whatnot were like, well, you know, we don't want them to not be able to stay here. So what can they do? Oh, they're good at words. Let's put them with the scribes. And the scribes used to be a much bigger thing. And then with progression of magic and society and whatnot, it just kind of began to be seen as less important, and there were less scribes. And so for Gael to finally to be out in the world kind of casually, which is not something that they've really gotten to do, and to find someone who cares about like one of their two major special interests ever and like wants to listen to them. I mean, it was such a lovely experience for me because I'm like, that feels so real to. I mean, I just love the ways that very naturally I feel that Gael's neurodivergence like impacts them and impacts their interactions in the story. And I think gaining an ally was a big way of finally showing a little bit of like autistic joy. And that made me really happy. And I'm like, maybe Gael will come back, but at the same time, they're come back to the library. But at the same time, they're apprehensive. Like, it's like, yes, best friend. And then because of things that happened that we're alluding to and will be more explored. Hello, microphone. it just went down. The idea, the whole best friend is like, that's not something that they even want to approach. So it was just a very multi-layered, but really lovely thing that made me really, really happy.
Absolutely.
And also as a bigger thing, totally unrelated to my own character stuff, just seeing Brian be out of it.
Oh yeah.
Because Brian has been such a source of goofs and jokes and whatnot. And to go these two whole episodes where he is struggling and dealing with depression and not only from like drug withdrawal, that's funny, weird out of context. I say looking to my mother. it's dang. Liquid luck. It's a whole thing. I'll tell you at dinner.
I haven't done drugs.
It's like, you know what? Yeah. I like this podcast a lot more now.
Say that again for the Patreon.
Molly Pine, the third tier of folks, drugs are good.
No. But not only from drug withdrawal, but from fatigue and from this new contender in his life. And like, wow, to get to see that character. I can only like imagine what is going to further come from that.
I'm scared.
Because I don't know if that's anything you expected to be contending with, but
yeah. Sorry, I was just so involved in the entire conversation. I mean, everyone touched on so many amazing things that did occur throughout all these episodes. I think the thing that has to be my favorite personally. I have two faves, and that is the two dreams.
The dreams. I thought you were talking about your dream.
That would have been my other one. Yes. So first of all, I'll start with Ynir because we already talked about Ynir.
Ynir's so cool.
I love Ynir because I have been sitting on that Pinterest image of Ynir for like literally a year.
It's so cool.
And I'm like, Ynir. I'm like, I don't have, like, I've never had like any person that looked exactly like that in my mind. And then I was like, then you picked up that sword that last episode. And I was like,
damn,
I can do something here. not to sound like a fucking psycho, but whenever I like envision characters, I have to have like a mental image or like an actual image to draw upon so that I know exactly, okay, because with my accents and stuff like that and the way I like do things, I actually form my face in the way that other people form their faces to get that same accent.
Yes. Okay, actor. Yes. Love it.
So whenever, and I'll quickly show this to you over here since you didn't get to see it.
Oh, it's so cool. You're going to love it, Mom.
I'll see if I can find it immediately. But for those of you at home, like the way I described it is pretty
spot on, if pretty I accurate, do yeah, say so myself. So there you go. That's what this character looks like. Ooh. So just so everyone remembers too. Whenever I saw this and I was like, okay, this is my time to pull this character through. What I did, and this is the psychotic part that sounds crazy.
Yeah,
it
was
like sometimes whenever I have to figure these things out, I have to look in the mirror and actually figure it out and then just talk in that character's voice and get into their head, their mindset. Mm-hmm. So it was literally while Nick was at work at like 10 o'clock at night, me smiling in the mirror to myself. Like not breaking a smile, trying to find his voice of the, oh, hey, Brian. Yeah. And like having that, like, and that was such an awesome experience just as an actor to get to like figure that out and then get to see your reaction to how creepy this character is.
I think it, like, he kind of reminded me, I'm going to play a theme song from a TV show that really reminded me of him. I don't know if you can keep it in the
as long as it's not more than, like, 10 seconds, we're good.
All right, just, you're very...
Yeah! Owl House. Oh, is this the Owl House one?
Yeah. The Collector. Reminded me so much.
It is so the Collector, oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
No, it's so the Collector. Yeah. You're so right too.
Yeah. I was like,
I'm very glad. So that was one of my favorites. The second one was the Leo dream. I'll let everyone else talk about this dream.
No, because the return of the lullaby is crazy. What I was realizing is like we just in real world time, it's not been that long since we first like heard this and Sophia recorded it. Absolutely. Obviously,
but it's going to be like 3 months.
It's going to be like, these are the December episodes, which is crazy to me.
I know,
but they're going to have, it's going to be this incredible callback for the listeners to be like, wait a minute, that's the melody at the very beginning, the prologue at the very beginning of the first episode.
That's why I sound familiar.
That was
like,
how do I know this? Jake's over here like, nice. This is a great song.
I was like, this sounds so familiar.
No,
like,
you came out of your head. I mean, okay, that's going to give people stuff to theorize with. Wow.
That was my biggest theory from the start.
So good.
My biggest theory from the start was as soon as I saw what the intro was, I was like, if that's how arcanics are made, I'm an arcanic. Wait, and then you said about the child in the forest. I was like, And then you said about me being cradled by someone in the forest while humming the song. And I was like,
Am I the baby?
It must be just some other guy who had the same exact experience. No, that's like, I was like, shit, that's me. I'm that one.
Well, so it's interesting because I will not confirm nor deny if it is directly related to you specifically. Yeah. But like, this is something that Nick and I have been talking about since I created this song and then had Sophia sing it for us, was that it was going to be a reoccurring thing that comes back as an actual
theme,
like theme and piece. And I can't say anything else, but it will come back in different ways in the actual podcast edited episodes that you guys will have to listen to hear those moments. It's very fascinating.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that, Nick? Because I know you were like freaking out over there as soon as I. Because
like once you started humming it, I'm like, because last Arcane Recovery, we were talking about the theory. It's like that dream was like, oh, maybe Leo is the child. And then as soon as did that, I'm like, insane. Now people are going to think that.
It's insane. Maybe he is and maybe he isn't.
And
I don't know.
But like with the knowledge that I know as Code DM, I'm like, this is really interesting and I want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone have a question that they would want to ask to the whole? Do you have any questions you would like to ask?
Give us a
question. Yes. Mom, give us a question.
I am a D&D virgin.
if you're gonna talk, you have to get on a mic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's okay, Mom.
I am a D&D virgin, but I'm ready to go for it.
Yes.
Having said that, I don't know if I'm ready to ask any questions yet.
That's okay.
I'm just absorbing the characters, and I'm loving this already, and it's giving me less anxiety about the first episode.
That's great. That's good. Getting ready.
Sorry. Yeah. Ethan,
I've got a question, and I probably bet that some audience members are wondering the same thing.
Absolutely. He just never
says it. How permanent is death in this universe?
That is a great question. It's such question. A good question.
Okay. Question. Next question.
So here's here's the thing.
The thing about that is.
So here's the thing, and Nick, if you would like to say anything towards it, you can.
Of course.
As I think we said in our session zero, we talked about how character death works in here. Obviously, we don't want everyone's like character to die and us to like recycle through a bunch of characters because that's just not people would be really upset, I think. Yeah. But we also don't want to cheat death because you can only A, use that so many times, and B, it comes a cop out, right?
Yeah. There's
Sophia's throwing things.
I think death offers its own unique story routes too. Like it's a needed part.
Absolutely. I think once a character dies, that's not the end for them. No. And the way that we've kind of flavored that into this world is the Allseed. So Allseed are typically things in Norse mythology, but we're taking that name and using their stat block for beings that die within this world, within the world of Cerulean and Ventalore specifically. So because Ventalore is so magical and each domain of like biomes has its own magical beast that is made of that energy, people have choices. They can either go to Ambrosia. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Ambrosia. They can go to Ambrosia, which is like our world's version of heaven. And they get to go into their own like God's domain, whether it be Karmos being life, death, or justice, whether it be Altan, the god of wrath, the sun, and light. Right? So all of these different beings have their own like Ambrosia planes. Mm-hmm. Also, there is the Rekindled. Yes. With Harthas, who creates these constructs and gives people a second chance at life. It's not just for the people who died in the genocidal scourge. That's why it was created to begin with. But it's for people to have a second chance at life if they choose. Yeah. Third alternative is to be an Allseed or part of the nature around you within each biome, because bestials exist and the energy emanates off of the biome. You have the choice of becoming part of that biome and a part of that circle of life within that environment. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, whenever you're out in the plains of past Conamanther going up towards the rekindled cities or towns, as it were, you could see somebody who looks like they're a deer or something, and then they cascade down into the actual grass or something. Or they look like they're a nymph on a pond, and then they turn into water into that. Like, you see glimpses or moments in time where that person was happiest and turns into something within nature that resembles their aura or who they are as a person. Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, I wanted to, because I've been having thoughts about character death a little bit, because I shouldn't say this. Night. So I have one of the podcasts that I love to listen to. There was just a significant character death on. Should I? I don't know. Should I say what it is?
We want to collab with you.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Major shout out to Cast Party. They're my favorite D&D podcast and have been for years.
Let's go.
And I've been listening to their Nocturne series. And in the most recent episode, there was a major character death. And it was definitely getting me thinking about all of it. And I'm very like of the mindset, and I'd love to hear other people's opinions, that like, I think character death can either be part of an arc or go against it. And I think how one it should be dealt with in the efforts of telling a good story should take that into account. Like for this character in this campaign, their death and the way that it occurred, it was partially a sacrifice of their life to save someone else. It made so much sense for their arc. And actually ended up being an ending that felt like it served that story.
Absolutely.
However, like in our own, let's talk about our home campaign with our campaign casters days in Fodenland, we had a character death that I think if that was it would not have served his arc.
Oh,
and
God,
instead
no,
we were able to find a solution that changed things and felt like a change and a consequence, but didn't end an arc before it was ready to be done. And I hope that that is a mindset that y'all are having as DMs.
Absolutely.
Because through seeing that and then also just listening to this episode, I really got to see two versions of how that can be handled and why they should be handled in those different ways. Because, it's a part of the game.
Too much.
Oh, no.
Because that's not what my mindset was.
Yeah.
Go for it.
You don't know, I'm the DM of Fodenland, which is our...
I don't know what your mindset was, but functionally it was just what I was thinking.
I heard
of
a little bit about the mindset when I died.
truly, from day one, I planned that there would be a cop out for the first person who died.
Oh, really? Mm.
Ooh. And that would be like it.
Oh, yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
And it just happened to be that Jake was the first person to die.
The only so far, but you know, that's fine.
Well, hopefully.
We'll change that.
We have one session to go.
Can we finish it? Can we?
Yeah.
We'll record it.
We'll record it.
Everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is
happening? On the last couple episodes, it's 3 hours of recap.
Oh my God.
I recap.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, it makes sense that that's what you were thinking logistically, but it just, in a meta sense, in a storytelling sense, I think it makes sense.
It flowed well together.
Yeah.
So, character tests in D&D. I've played D&D for not a long time, and in that not a long amount of time, I've died as three different characters.
Ugh. Holy shit.
First was in a Star Wars one shot, and that was mostly because I didn't equip any spells for my character. I played a spellcaster.
That'll do it.
No.
Beforehand. That was
my second one was in a campaign, and I was properly equipped for that one, but I had a happenstance of dying, and it had a circumstantial change. Yeah, your character resurrected me, and because you chose to do that, your character suffered the fall of the damage of what was happening. Like, you turned into a tiefling, I think. You literally, like, it was crazy.
Wow.
And then another one I did, my character died, but took someone with them whenever they died.
Holy shit.
Like a bad guy.
Yeah. Like the person, literally happened out that the person was like walking. We thought they were cool. And then they stabbed me in the gut and said, sorry, friend. And I'm saying, oh, no, it's okay. And I put my hand on his face and I cast inflict wounds on his face. And holy we both shit. Died. It was.
Damn. That's crazy.
It was crazy. But I with each of those, and I'm so glad I've had those experiences, because the first one hits you like a truck when you die.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, this is the end of the world. What the heck? I can't do anything else once this character's dead. Which, you know, the emotion of it is honest and true, and that's really good. But also you have to remember that a thing is beautiful because it doesn't last. And a story will always continue, even if one page is taken out.
Motherfucker's writing poetry right now!
The sentence
has... Write that down!
It's, like hey, you want me to quote that?
Yeah, you
want
to quote that? Write that down?
I love
to
that.
Quote, to
but
quote.
No, it's true, because these stories will still, like, and even just in the world, like... Someone will die, but the world's going to keep turning, which is both kind of morbid, but also very true in the fashion of how things go. And there's a way that a story will still continue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The sentence has no meaning if it doesn't end.
Exactly.
To quote a certain musical that's taking up my entire brain space right now.
Yes.
But it's the truth.
Line.
It's
what a killer line.
It is a killer line.
That's a killer line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just... That was just a quote I've had in my brain.
Yeah, no.
Were you going to say something next?
It's from Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I do remember him saying
Marvel.
They're thinking of talking about Marvel now.
Yeah, I mean, what... I don't want to spoil.
Yeah, don't spoil anything.
Don't.
Yeah, okay.
No, feel free.
I'll keep it. Brian will die.
Yeah.
Death.
It's going to happen.
This is the one thought whenever we were talking about death, and I'm like, because with Karmos... Or not Karmos, Harthas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, out of everyone to become a rekindled, that could be Brian because he committed a crime.
He did.
And it would be really interesting to see if he was a rekindled. Not that we're trying to kill you.
No,
please don't. Please just let me live.
Please but like, don't kill that would again. Be
get that look off your face, Haven.
Yeah.
I saw that. What? That
yeah. But that would bother. That would be a really interesting thing to see is like because we introduced rekindled and someone becomes one. But anyway. The other thing was between Gael and Sig, because talking about religion, and then a little bit after that, Sig was like, yeah, whatever gods you believe in.
I know. I want to get into that. Yeah. I'm so excited. And I think stuff in Arc 2 that I know is going to bring that up. But I have to, you know, as I was telling Sophia and Adam, I know things about the end of this arc and the beginning of next that I just have to continue to forget that I know, which is weirdly easy. But I know things, and I know that I think we will get to have those conversations in some time.
And it made me reflect Elxador a bit, because what's interesting is that I thought, okay, religion, gods, what is that here in Conamanther? Because we have Harthus, Carmos, Orisphira, and Temnota.
For those of you at home, Temnota is the goddess of moon and peace and darkness. And Orisphira is the god of fungi, health, and poison.
Oh my god. If you die, just let the moon goddess resurrect you and become her lunar soldier, of course.
Oh, that's so true. You're moon.
Whoa! My first girlfriend turned into the moon.
That's rough, buddy.
Yeah, but it was interesting because I was thinking, okay, well, like, Elxador.
It took Sophia a second to understand that.
There we go.
Sorry, Grandma was catching up.
But Elxador is a paladin, and I'm like, is he religious? And I was thinking about this because what I really love was that our moment in the beginning when we were interrogating, because I was like, yeah, we're both like, I try to uphold justice as someone who wants to be a part of the law, and you have that for your domain.
So I don't think it really clicked with me how much Elxador and Gael's values align until that. And we were kind of killed that investigation. And I was like, there is something here that I'm excited to continue to develop. Absolutely. Because I'm like, we are similar in a lot of ways. And I hadn't considered it.
Yeah.
So.
And like, his whole thing is that, like, with him being the dad of the group, like, he wants to give everyone their space, but, like, know, like, where to be and all that. And it was really cool to have that moment. And then I was thinking, like, okay, if he actually does, like, maybe, you know, obviously believe in gods because they are a real thing in this world. But, like, where does that faith line for him? And I think, like, definitely Carmos and a little bit of Orisphira, because that let me look at my notes because I had pulled it up. The cardinal, the high priest. Yeah, he's a high priest of Orisphira is in Zillionak. So I was like, okay, because his whole thing was helping out people, and with the memory we got in episode one was him making that greenhouse and grocery store for the people to have better vegetables and food storage.
And access to food,
So, like, health is also one of those things as well. So I was like, maybe those two. And that's what's floating in my head.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's really interesting. I actually do have a pretty solid question. Okay. Do you want to say one thing on this?
Oh, no, I had a question. But if you have a question,
ask this one quick, and then I'll have you ask whatever you're going
to
ask.
Okay, you don't have to.
Wanted to go around the table and think, what did Ymir mean when he said, I own you?
That's a crazy
that's not the thing that was interesting me.
What was interesting you?
The guy upstairs.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What
I think
it was.
God? Jesus?
God, Jesus? Am I upstairs?
It's me. You see as Jesus walks down the stairs.
Oh, hey, Brian.
Don't keep sinning, brother.
You know, your ocean's turning gray. That's a new wine I'm trying out.
Let's turn that wine into water.
So what do we think about that then? All of what just was had.
So my first thing was that I thought this was demonic, infernal in some nature at first, and then you start getting into stories a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, we're on the same page. Thank you.
And then
I'm not.
So then I was
the page?
Okay.
We're not even on a page.
I'm on page 12.
We got Chauvet here, who is the god of story, dreams, and sleep,
which makes
a lot of sense for someone coming in a dream, announcing themselves, and then saying, I'm there. So my thing is, like, obviously they're evil inclined. So I don't think there's just a theory. I think Chauvet, or at least the champions might be involved. And I think that would be a really cool inclination to see where that goes.
Was this potentially a weapon of a previous champion that has now ended up in the wrong hands?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
That was a fascinating thought.
The champion. Yeah, so.
Am I forgetting something?
Yes, you are.
Literally, just to describe it, this has happened five times where everyone else knows, and Jake's like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Did that happen today? Anyway. Did that happen to the champions brought up today?
No.
Okay.
Just now.
No, like in general. With
We
brought them up in session zero.
I wasn't there for session
but did
zero.
Did you watch it?
I skimmed through it, okay?
I wrote so many timestamps for you.
It was 3 hours long.
I'll explain this real quick. Yeah. So they're called the Champions of the Divine. They are people that have been specifically chosen by the gods, and there are five champions for each god, and they serve their will on like either different planes or on different domains. So like Haven and I have tried to space it out to that there is at least some type of champion for each domain and for each god.
Yeah.
Damn. Dude's literally the pawn's pawn.
Yeah. But they
I love the pawns.
Oh, right. They
Who am I?
Am I a man or am I a muppet?
The real questions.
But the champions have access to this thing called the Divine Nexus, which gives them more like divine-like powers, and they are like in this higher tier of being of possessing the god's power.
Sounds like I'm a champion.
That is a way better theory than mine.
What was yours?
I'm so curious.
I was legitimately thinking like upstairs. I'm like, okay, the bedrooms are upstairs, right? And I was like, damn, these guys must be demon buddies.
with you.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Oh, thinking the demon that's inside of Sig is the guy who's upstairs.
Can't wait to meet the guy upstairs like that.
The gay upstairs. It's us.
There's always one.
I have many thoughts about Ynir, of course, because he's directly affecting me. And the entirety of today, he was all that I was thinking about.
Oh, I'm
both
sure.
In character fair. And out.
Very fair.
Which I was like very purposefully trying to not pay attention to what was going on today, which is why I'm confused. Because of the two levels of exhaustion.
Yeah,
and
smart.
So Brian wouldn't be... I pretty much have no idea what happened today.
That's
very
in,
very intentional.
No,
very
it's
intentional.
So easy for him to do this.
Yeah. I mean, like I was paying attention, but I was also playing Minesweeper.
Absolutely.
And so,
yeah.
I was like, he's either on Minesweeper or like naming
Jake,
Pokemon.
Tell them how many hours you have a day in Minesweeper.
Let's check what the daily is for today.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Being that I was playing it on my computer on a completely separate app, I'm gonna check my phone's hours to see how much that is. Hold on. Where's
weaponize the ADHD?
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
No, you can't prove it.
Screen time. Okay, today. Obviously, we've been doing this pretty much all day.
Yeah.
I still have 56 minutes on Minesweeper on my phone. Over the course of this past week, I have 9 hours and 52 minutes on Minesweeper.
That's a lot.
Jake told me once he had 13 hours.
Last week was 14 hours, 51 minutes. The week before was 19 hours, 5 minutes.
That's a lot of
The week before that was 24 hours. In the span of a week, over 7 days, one full day was spent playing Minesweeper.
Jake was destined to work in an office.
It's so funny.
That means truly, in a week, you spent 3.42 hours every day playing Minesweeper.
I was playing on the Google like Chrome Minesweeper today, which doesn't track on my phone. It's a completely separate app.
Yeah.
I don't know how long I was playing today, but it was intentional. I promise I won't do that.
Yeah.
It's because Brian was out of it, and I was very, very much so trying to not pay attention to what was going on.
Yeah, no.
I know what you mean.
We found something.
See, I've done that before.
Yeah,
that's really smart. I like.
I was like, no, he would not. He's not thinking about this. Minesweeper. I was going hard. I was going crazy.
You found something you're more into than Pokemon.
Yeah.
No, I can't name all the mines. Actually, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
done.
And cleared. 9. Yeah. Not possible. Just kidding. That's a little Minesweeper joke for you. Anyway.
Wow. Oh, brother. Okay. This guy stinks.
Anyway.
Theories.
Ynir. Ynir. Yes. First of all, the guy upstairs, the second that he said that, I was like, oh, someone's controlling this dude, even though he's controlling me. But I didn't know about the champions, so I guess I gotta watch Session Zero. Probably should have done that before.
We're on episode six, y'all.
It was 3 hours long.
No, that's right.
And at the time, I didn't have the time.
No, I get it.
Okay, so that I forgot about.
You were on good shows. Yeah. It was good.
Oh yeah, what did he mean by he owns me? That was the original question.
Yeah, that was the question.
Yeah. Yes. And we were all like, nah, not that question.
No, it's perfectly fine. I like what it devolves into.
I don't think it means that he can like take control of me or anything. Maybe he can control the sword, and since I'm unwilling to drop the sword, then he can control my arm technically. I'm thinking maybe that. But I think more so it's just that he knows that he's gonna have to force me to make some kind of deal sooner or later within my dreams. Because I am attuned to this weapon. What am I supposed to do about that? I pretty much have no, unless I want him to fuck me up in some way, but like mentally or by taking control of the sword, which I don't know if he can do that. If he couldn't do it before, please don't add that. please.
Yes. Just gather.
Yes. Yeah. This question is just
how to make Jake's life a living hell.
But I think he meant that he owns me in the sense that I can't get away from him. I think it's more so that he wants me to think he has more control over me than he actually does, more so than actually having that control.
That's fascinating.
Which could be false. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
But that's the way that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you do know. But that's the way that I'm thinking about it, because realistically, unless he has control of the sword, which... unless he has that, what does he have on me? He's got fucking nothing except haunting my dreams.
And maybe turning into a big purple.
Yeah, if I drop it.
Yeah, haunted dreams, bros.
Nice.
Yeah. You finally got your high five.
Yay!
two episodes.
But Riker gave you high fives.
That's true. Yeah. Riker did give
that's
you
true.
I think what I really want to do is, after getting rid of this final level of exhaustion, I just want to re-roll history and see if I can sheath this stupid sword. I don't want to hold it the whole time. I just want to see. I just want to know.
Why didn't you ask me?
I don't know.
I was there.
He literally
talked to him like two times.
Okay, well, do you know?
Yeah.
You had to think about that.
Oh, bother.
Okay, let's keep going around. Adam, what were thoughts regarding this?
I think it's definitely like a weighted choice type thing, where like you have a choice, but one is significantly better than the other choice. But you have a choice. Like, he's like kind of dangling like the fruit in front of him and like being like, you could definitely leave. But if you do, you got to go through this spike pit. You got to, you know, get cut in half. You got to get your eyeballs taken out of your skull. You're like, but you could leave. Or you could go to this way where you can have infinite power and then just slightly lose your morality. But like, it's kind of like one of those like weighted scales. But like also the choice that you decide to put all of your eggs on, you're going to. What is happening?
He's mowing their goddamn lawn
at 7 o'clock at night.
Why are they mowing their lawns right now?
They were mowing it out there for a while, and now that's, I guess, insane. They moved.
They gotta get all their mowing down. But
absolutely.
With the lawn too. With the like scale, is just like you put all this stuff on one side of the scale, but also at the same time, once you do that, you're like, okay, and then they smack it, and it's a catapult that hits you in the face. So it's like both things, like
Jesus, you are on fire today.
I don't know what happens.
You just got it. Just write me a whole poetry novel.
I don't know what happens. It just happened. I do a lot of improv, so I mean,
yeah,
a lot of things just kind of puzzle pieces go, and it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, I said poetic things about the nature of death.
Real. Yeah, and that's it.
That's all I got.
But no, it's. I think the fact of him saying I own you is the fact that he also is being owned by someone else. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's like the mindset of just like putting that in your brain so that you can feel what he's already felt.
And I have an idea of something I definitely want to do as soon as I can. I'm not going to say what it is.
Cool. Sophia?
I mean, I think Nick and I were on the same page with our theory completely. So, I mean, I don't need to rehash that. But
just repeat it for the people who may have missed it.
Well, if you look at the slideshow presentation from session zero, then you can.
Damn.
Shade throwing.
I'm turning this to Lycan versus the second in the same way of like the phrase of I own you. I that's something Lycan, like Gnomes relates to a lot. And so I think. And also just the imagery of seeing people get chained and with the circlets and cuffs that take away magic and like imbues magic as freedom, and seeing Brian locked up. I think there's a lot of, once she clues into more of what's going on with Brian, I think that she will definitely want to be there for him.
Yeah.
I can just see that going that route. I don't know where I was going with this. I
have
awesome ending to that statement, but you know that I do think the Chauvet theory is strong. And I think that probably, I just blanked on his name.
Ynir.
Ynir. I think that Ynir is probably not as powerful as he claims to be. And it's also, it is also owned by somebody else and is wanting to exert power over Brian. So I think there's a way out of this, but I don't know what it is.
I have an idea. I don't know if it'll work, but I'll probably do it eventually. So.
Okay.
Ari?
I mean, I don't have a lot of thoughts that other people haven't already shared, but it made me think again of the Collector, and this character who's kind of wacky, who talks a big talk and has intimidation tactics, but isn't all what they seem. I don't know if that's the same, but as we were talking about it, I was thinking about that. I was also thinking about another D&D podcast that I don't know, because of the idea of the champions. This one's Transplanar. Shout out to Transplanar. I'm so behind. I'm on literally arc one, but it's so good. And they have a similar thing kind of going on with Paragons. And the idea of like, is the people being chosen circumstantially and not necessarily because they're right or because things fall into the wrong hands. And it makes me think if there's anything similar to that going on here. I don't know.
Great question.
That's all.
But Ari, just as the last question we'll do, what was the question you wanted to ask?
I don't know if this is a good question, but I was gonna go into the real world for a second just to say, because so we are everyone's making like teleport motions just so you know, people at home, folks at home. So we are 6 episodes in. This is our 4th recording session together.
Yes, technically, because of pre-campaign.
Yeah. And I'm just curious what of like something you've learned in this process or something that you experienced that you didn't expect to in recording this, because I mean it's the first time. You know, some of us have dabbled in similar projects before, but it's a huge thing to take on and something that we all kind of said yes to and didn't know exactly what shape it was going to take. So I'm curious, like, what are some of your reflections 6 full episodes in?
That's a fantastic question.
Thank you.
Amazing question.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that, you know, we wanted to emphasize like how we did this as well. And I think worth following up on that. I don't
absolutely
know.
I think it's so different DMing for a podcast than like a normal D&D game, because you have to like actually think of how is this going to be entertaining to people who are listening to it, and it's like no lull in between. So for me, I like I'm doing much better, but like the first couple of episodes I was terrified, and I'm gonna admit something, and we might take it out, I don't know. I'm going to admit that for this last episode we just did, I had some things, but most of it was off the cuff.
That's impressive.
Dang.
Legitimately.
When we were eating Chili Mac, I knew that we were going to go to the Revelfin stage. I had none of that prepped. I had none of the NPCs prepped. And I ran down here and just found photos and like came up with all their personalities.
Let's go improv.
That's absolutely incredible. Thanks. So that was the most terrifying because every other episode I've been so prepared and we just got past a certain point that I didn't expect us to get past today. And I was like, oh my God, I have to go in with bits and pieces. So that was fascinating to me, was to like be able to be at that point of going, all right, I know so much, let's just go. So that absolutely that for me.
Yeah. I would say the talent and testament to all of the other D&D podcasts out there.
Yes.
Because like, again, like the really popular ones, they're adults. They're like, they're already in their career. And then we're here figuring it out. And some moments have been awkward. And what's really interesting is that like sitting here making sure, like you said, is entertaining for people to listen to is like, how do I make this really engaging? And then when you are listening to other podcasts where they get the, like, we, like, I love that we get to be ourselves here, but like they're fully in their element and they are just telling this cohesive story and they're making it seem like it's a piece of pie. And it's just really awesome seeing in these six episodes, we're like, we're still in that awkward phase, like figuring it out. And it, yeah. And it's great of like the story that we're telling and the character and bonds that we're making as both players and like characters too. Mm-hmm. So it's just really fascinating to be a part of this learning process.
Absolutely.
This might be dumb, but it's weird how like when we're done, how mentally tired I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I sit in my room and the lights are off and I just lie down and I stare at the ceiling.
Yeah. Yep.
And then like, I just have to like, and we live in a college town. Like part of me is like, let's go party. And the other 99% of me is like, sit the fuck down.
Take a nap.
Yeah. Wait, sleep. Yeah. Take also, your like, long rest.
The amount of food I eat in between sessions is unlawful. Because I don't eat that much normally, but like I get done with that first session and I'm like, yes.
Like it's like your brain needs energy.
I open my maw and I just slide food in. I shovel it in. Oh my God.
Chewy Mac was going
it's like so, it's so true. Like I need energy at that point. Like usually I can coast through my day with like two meals and be like, okay. But like
by the end,
once I'm done with this, like I'm gonna shovel something else down my gullet.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm so hungry.
Not real.
And like, God, I couldn't imagine like going to work or something like after this. No thanks. I need lighty downtime.
Yeah,
absolutely. Or a nice car ride somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have a double server shift tomorrow.
Oh, like, or at least you have a few hours.
Yeah. Like sleep.
You have a night's sleep.
So take your long rest.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Could you repeat the question? Oh,
No.
Let me be clear.
I remember I was getting my 15th hour.
No. Hold on. Let me be clear. I remember the question was something about like the difference between preparation and now, but I don't remember the exact wording of it. So
basically, I'm like, I tried to be somewhat open-ended. Is there anything that you've learned from this or that's come up that you didn't expect?
So I'm obviously the newest person here to D&D. And
well, other than
this. Okay, oh yeah.
Yeah.
In this room today, it's my mother, but on the podcast, it is Jake.
So I didn't really have too many expectations going in, except to have fun and have an interesting enough character for people to care about, and do a funny voice for him, which sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's just straight up, just a British accent instead of the "Arg, I be a pirate" type shit, you know. But I think like the biggest surprise as of right now, compared to what my expectations of it would be, is that like you guys don't really know much about Brian. I haven't really revealed anything. Like there are some things that I've revealed, but a lot is still secretive. Mm-hmm. And I expected by this point to have like blabbermouthed it all out, and I haven't. And I'm gonna keep it that way. So
that's great.
Yes.
But I was like really, really expecting to just say shit, and I'm not. And I like it.
Secrets.
Very good. Jake. I'm glad. I'm really glad to hear that. Adam?
I'm gonna be the exact opposite of Heath. I feel like I could do this forever.
Same.
I legit, if I want to keep quoting different Marvel things, I could do this all day. Like,
this is the quote episode.
It's one of those things where, like, I can, like, seeing people, like, do D&D and, like, for, like, different podcasts, or seeing them do stuff for, like, whether it's Dimension 20 or Critical Role or all of those things, and just, like, seeing the amount of fun they have and then, like, doing it here, I'm like, I could see why they do this almost every day. They always wake up and they're always ready to do this stuff. It's so connecting and engaging and a fun little, like, experience also to get into of, like, figuring out how microphones work and how to, you know, make sure that, like, we're all having the tech stuff on a good side for us, and also just being able to create a story with all the people that I'm able to just call my friends and just have fun doing the thing that I love doing. It, like, merges the two things I love, which is, like, theater and games. It put two and two together, and it's basically put it into this form of just D&D, and it's so cool that we get to do this, that we can share it out for other people, and I feel good about, like, the stuff that we do.
Absolutely.
Sophia?
Can I be clear? It's not that I couldn't do this forever.
Oh, yeah.
I can and I will.
Yeah.
It's just like drugs.
Whoa!
D&D is just
like
good luck.
It's like I will have withdrawal once I'm done.
Yes,
yeah. Sure.
No, it's like anything that is addictive, like sugar or electronics. Drugs.
It has to be a crash.
Yeah. Or crack, I don't have a withdrawal. I just
or
keep
just
going.
A break. It's like too much of a good thing is still too much. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snaps.
It's yeah. I personally think it's just fun.
Oh,
I do. So I just I keep going just because I enjoy it, and my energy doesn't seem to go down. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
That's impressive.
Cool. That's super great.
I'm ready to go to bed.
Real quick. Yes. Since you brought up the quotes, I think it's no surprise that most of the things that I say in my life in general are direct quotes from pieces of media that I watch.
Oh yeah.
Very, very often. I say, what a day. And that's a reference to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That is not me actually saying that. But I don't know how many people picked up on it, but last week when we were recording, there was a part in the underground ring in the first session where I was like, I'm a pirate, I got copper pieces, and I'm gonna bet I could do a reference here. And I don't know if anyone got it, but I said, what say ye to the price of one copper piece?
I knew exactly. It's from SpongeBob.
No, it's Avatar.
Oh,
it's when Aang is trying to get the waterbending scroll. Yes! He says that exactly.
That's
said that, and I was like, anyone get it? And then the character whatever was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I was like, oh, okay. What do you say to two copper pieces? Because that's what Aang then rebuttals back.
Yes.
I was like, did anyone get it? Anyone understand? No. Please. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
Dude, Sophia, what
I
was
referenced
it?
Something today, and I
absolutely.
I keep accidentally.
I can't remember what it was, but like a similar thing happened. And I was
we're gonna get copyrighted at some point.
We are.
Actually, I think we're more in the clear than we actually think.
Oh, that's
because
good.
I have seen things. People do an entire one shot of Donkey Kong referencing all of the Donkey Kong characters.
Oh shit!
And from like famous. Famous podcast. But
Nintendo didn't see
go ahead, Sophia.
I don't know. I don't know if I have like generally new reflections. I think like there's something about the grace of the edit that lets me calm down. Because I think when I first entered into this, I was like, I am so scared to say the wrong thing and it's going to be online forever. Yeah. But we're not like actively Twitch streaming or anything like that. We have the opportunity to restate something if it doesn't come out right the first time, which is really helpful. And so that's calmed my nerves a ton, because I think if we were doing this live, I would be way more panicked. Just because I would, you know, hate for something to come out the wrong way.
Yeah. I think it also gives us a training of like doing this, editing for a while. That if we one day eventually do one live, we'll already be like trained in our brain
we're
to
like,
not
okay,
say those
this
things.
Is how it needs to operate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and it also lets me relax and be like, it's okay to ask a clarifying question that necessarily the audience doesn't need to know about.
Absolutely.
You know, like it gives me as a player a sense of peace. I don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff that I had expectations going in about that became true. And this is such a dream to do it. And I, you know, I watched Critical Role since I was like 13. I was like, this is so cool. I want to do this. And now I'm in college. Crazy. So yeah, I don't know.
That's a really good answer. Mm-hmm.
I think the big thing for me, and before I explain, this is going to sound narcissistic and awful, but it's, you know, it's not about me the whole time, you know? And I don't mean that as in I expected it to be, but when you're building up to this, you're spending all of your time thinking about it, pouring into your character, and you're like, oh, I need all these details correct, and I have to be on all the time, and I have to say all the things and pace things well, and then you get into it, and you're in a party of 7 plus a DM, and it's like, oh, I can relax. The spotlight is not on me. Yeah. Sometimes it will be, and I can be ready for those moments, engage those moments, and be an actor and be a storyteller. But like, it's not, you're not, it's, you're not, you don't have to be turned on all the time necessarily. And you can give so much love and time to other, you suck so much. I hate you. I felt it.
I felt the eyes go.
I hate you. You did the same thing earlier.
I was
like, Jay, you have the worst to, you don't have to be like engaged the whole time on your own arc and your own things. Yeah. And also like you can, especially with things like arc, it's not fully something like you can trust that in your DMs as well. It's like we're all working together and you don't need to be so stressed about you. So yeah, that's my
They're
thing.
Good DMs. Absolutely. Let me know for trauma later.
Yeah, exactly. No, we'll all get to suffer.
Yeah, but without further ado, we hope you all have a great rest of your day and you enjoy the arcane recovery today.
Yeah.
Until next time, be careful adventuring.
Need to read it.
Got it. I'm keeping it in. You forgot it.
Boo! Tomato. Tomato.
Until next time, be careful adventuring. If you get tired,
come back home.
Yay, we're done.